The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
When I return to the White House, I will fire the radical left accreditors that have allowed our colleges to become dominated by Marxist maniacs and lunatics. We will then accept applications for new accreditors who will impose real standards on colleges once again and once and for all. These standards will include defending the American tradition and Western civilization, protecting free speech, eliminating wasteful administrative positions that drive up costs incredibly, removing all Marxist diversity, equity, and inclusion bureaucrats, offering options for accelerated and low-cost degrees, and implementing college entrance and exit exams to prove that students are actually learning and getting their money's worth.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That is the former president, Donald Trump. I guess you knew that, right, by his voice. I thought we'd take a look today at the possible matchup. That's what the president is saying he's going to do. And he is entering the race in a battle in which, after several years, I think the country has become far more progressive and very woke. We've seen the policies and the agenda of the Biden administration. Do you want Donald Trump? We can talk about it. Would you rather see a DeSantis? Would you rather see somebody else? You know, the president's standing has deteriorated since that election, you know, since January 6th, really. He's never been out of the news, even since he stepped down, right? Of course, we have this most recent case right now. You also had the Manhattan district attorney indicting him over allegedly hiding, you know, hush money, and the litany goes on. Is the country ready for a Joe Biden, Donald Trump matchup? You know, speaking of Biden very quickly here, and we're going to speak to Dr. Paul Kengor today. President Biden came out and said, yeah, I'm running 2024, and my race is going to mirror the last one, and I am going to finish the job I did. I'm like, oh, yeah. If he says, well, here's the thing. Here's what a lot of people are saying. He never got out of his basement last time, right? How is he going to mirror that? The president clearly has aged. All these presidents pretty much do. Will he be able to portray himself convincingly as a moderate unifier as he did in 2020? A lot of people says, yeah, we're sick of the vitriol. We want a unifier. I'm going to be the people of the blue states, the red states, of the United States, right? That famous slogan that's often thrown around during election time. I don't know. Biden is losing independence. Only 14% said, and this is back in April, that they prefer him to run for re-election. His numbers are really low. So there's somebody else who threw their hat into the Democratic Party. Well, a couple people, but one that I'd like to talk about today, and we'll get Dr. Kengor's take on this, because he understands presidential politics and he understands history. The name Kennedy in this country has been equated with politics for, what, 65 years? President John F. Kennedy's family's connection with politics extend to his grandfathers on both sides of the family, and today the Kennedy influence, not what it was, maybe in your parents' day, but the son of Jack's younger brother, John, or Robert, I should say, could bring it back. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he spent most of his 69 years working in law, especially in environmental law, and he's most recently been very outspoken on vaccines. He's spoken, outspoken on COVID-19. And his prominence has risen as he's spoken out very forcefully, you know, against the mRNA vaccines that were developed under the Trump administration to try to stop the pandemic. And of course, you know, prominence can be a good thing and it can also be a bad thing. For RFK Jr., it hasn't been the best thing because he's been consistently criticized by the mainstream media as a vax denier and a giver of misinformation on the mRNA vaccines. But the Democratic Party looks at who is currently occupying the White House. Joe Biden's 80 years old. He'll be 82 by the time he's, you know, time a new term in office rolls around. He'll be 86 at the end of it, causing a lot of members to look at who else might run, who else might move into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And Kennedy has formally declared his candidacy for office. What's really surprising is that he's actually getting pretty decent poll numbers. Kennedy officially launched his presidential campaign on the 19th of April, a few days earlier. One poll had him at 10% would support him. On the day of his launch, it was up to 14%. A week later, it was at 19%. The latest poll that I saw says he's at 21%. So we'll see what happens. Now, can he get beyond that? Who knows? Could he give Joe Biden a run for his money? Who knows, right? If he gets the nomination, there are some who believes that he would propel Donald Trump back into the White House. Let's talk about it with Dr. Paul Kenger. You're more than welcome to join me, too. You can dial in at 888-914-9149. It's a delight to have back with me the professor of political science at Grove City College in Pennsylvania and the author of his latest book, The Devil and Bella Dodd, Dr. Paul Kenger. Doctor, thank you for your time. Thanks for your writing. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, hey, thanks. Yeah, thanks, Drew. Good to be back.
I'll post your latest article, too, The Doomsday for Democrats, How JFK Jr. Could Elect Trump. And that's a great read. I read that right before going on the air here today.
RFK Jr.
RFK. Forgive me. Yeah. Robert Kennedy Jr. He never held office. And yet he's getting some decent poll numbers right now. Give me your assessment of RFK and ultimately, you know, why people might support him over Biden.
Yeah, and let me back up by starting with RFK Sr., who we've probably talked about him before, I think, on the show. In fact, I probably did the show back in 2018 when I wrote some things on the 50th anniversary of his tragic assassination.
Yeah.
And so I opened this piece with a quote from Bobby Kennedy before he was shot in June 1968, and I won't read the full curse word, I'll abbreviate it, but what Bobby Kennedy said, he said, "What my father said about businessmen applies to liberals. They are SOBs, in love with death. They are in love with death." Now Bobby Kennedy, you know, who liberals, you know, lionize, right?
Yep.
For a lot of reasons and a lot of good reasons. He was really good on civil rights and some issues like that. But I opened the piece with that quotation from RFK because the man did not like liberals, and he was very conflicted at best about liberals in his party, and, you know, culturally, morally, religiously, as a Catholic, he was a conservative. You know, he was anti-feminism, anti-gay rights. They would have called it, you know, homosexual rights, I guess, in those days, if anything at all. He was against abortion. I think he would have been absolutely shocked at his party being the party of Roe v. Wade and over 60 million abortions. And I also note in the article, Drew, that Bobby Kennedy, and this is very much unlike JFK. I mean, JFK was our first Catholic president, right? People aren't totally sure how devout he was. Well, Bobby Kennedy was very devout, and people that knew him said that if he hadn't gone into politics and been a politician, he might have been a monk.
Wow.
I mean, this guy was prayerful. He was pensive. It was kind of actually morose, gloomy. They said he kind of thought of the world in terms of Greek tragedy. And when his older brother died, he was like a man on the rack, right, thinking about the death of his brother. But to show his kind of commitment to Catholicism, and I don't think any Kennedy kid matched this, he and his wife Ethel had 11 kids. And when Bobby Kennedy was shot on the night of June 5th, 1968, at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, and he's laying there dying, he's holding in one hand, Drew, a rosary, literally has a rosary in one hand, and in the other hand, he's holding his wife's hand, Ethel, and in Ethel's womb was their 11th child, Rory. So I mean, he was quite a Catholic testimony from this man who, I'd have to look it up, but I don't think he was even 50 years old when he was shot. I think JFK might have been around 43, 44 when he was elected, when he was inaugurated. So Bobby was young as well, and I use all of that setup, including the whole liberals in love with death assessment, and Bobby calling liberals, you know, SOBs, to say that, you know, Bobby Kennedy was his own man, right? He was independent. He was willing to buck the party, and so is his son, RFK Jr., who was actually the third kid in the family. I think the first boy they named after the grandfather, Joseph P. Kennedy Sr. but he's willing to go against the entire party. He went against the party on vax mandates. And for that, if you Google his name right now, you know, this nasty little box pops up on Google, and I've got it in front of me right now. Robert Francis Kennedy Jr. is an American environmental lawyer, an author known for promoting anti-vaccine propaganda and health-related conspiracy theories. That's what he gets for a lifetime of working in public health and being concerned about 18-year-old boys and girls taking experimental mRNA shots and getting myocarditis from it, right? So, but it was that and other issues, including he came out over the weekend against transgender guys in sports, you know, 6'3", 225-pound dudes swimming in swim meets against 5'6", 100-pound girls, right? He said, I don't think that's fair. That shouldn't happen. And, of course, Joe Biden is in love with that idea. So RFK Jr. has, amid all of this, come out and said, I'm challenging Joe Biden for the Democratic Party nomination. And the point of my article, I have a hard time imagining Drew RFK Jr. getting the nomination, but I could see him coming into this race and playing third party spoiler in a way that could elect Donald Trump for Republicans. And I've been saying on your show, for months now, that I think Donald Trump's ceiling is about 45-46%. And you can't win the presidency that way unless there's a third party guy who comes in and gets like 20%, like Ross Perot did in 1992, like George Wallace did in 1968, like the 1912 election with Woodrow Wilson and William Howard Taft and Eugene Debs and Teddy Roosevelt. So I could see RFK Jr. coming in and doing that. And if he does, man, that would be just doomsday for the Democrats.
You know, on both sides of the aisle, Doctor, I think people want to change. They don't want to see Joe Biden in there for four more years. So if there's a candidate that may have more lucidity and perhaps be able to guide the country in a little bit less liberal way, maybe with better fiscal policy, amongst others, he might do surprisingly well. On the other side of the aisle with Donald Trump, some people, may want somebody who offers a different perspective as well. Well, Trump right now, statistically, at least in polls, is leading well over any of DeSantis's numbers. But DeSantis hasn't officially thrown his hat in yet either. So I think it's going to be a surprising election the way things are going to ultimately shake out. And I think people want change. I don't know if people are ready for this matchup. Some may be. A lot of people still love Donald Trump and what he did for the country. So we'll have to see. But let's take a few calls for you. The number, if you want to get in, 888-914-9149. Feel free to sound off. Join the conversation. Stan's in Northern Nevada. He's got a comment for you. Good afternoon, Stan.
Hey, Stan.
Good afternoon. Dr. Kanger, as usual, I like your articles. I wish I could take a class from you online. That's how much I enjoy your work.
You.
Having said that, I was a passionate Democrat for years and years and years until I saw them starting to go south. And I said last week that I could, I voted for Trump because of his stance. But I could see myself going for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I remember in the fourth grade when John F. Kennedy was killed, how hope seemed to die. And then in 1960, but then came Robert Kennedy, and it almost seemed like it was resurrected, and it seemed like it died again. And I agree with Bobby Kennedy that we just sort of become a culture of death. I saw that in the military when they started, when Reagan started, wrote the first national security strategy to keep, because of the Goldwater Nichols Act, to keep a check on the military industrial complex, how that was always our three principles was to, defend, our people, defend our prosperity, and to support any nations rising to those things in our Declaration of Independence. And I saw that change under Obama, that we will only support nations that have abortion, that have LGBT values. And I think Bobby Kennedy, I'm getting enthusiastic about thinking about him. I think he could do that. And my prayers, when I say my prayers, when I say my rosary, I think about comes a point where anybody that's worldly, is it a, opponent of the cross, and that's what I think about with Biden and his dealings with Ukraine and Russia.
All right.
And I think about, like, all these people passing judgment on God's laws. I'm all for compassionate, but this is a guy I think has a solid base from what I'm seeing.
Yeah. And Stan, thanks. Let me hold you on that point. I'm going to let Dr. Ken Gore respond to you.
Yeah, no, I think Stan's call here is really a perfect first call, because one thing I did not expect, Drew, when I wrote this article, and I think it was published Monday or Tuesday, but I went to the reader comments and I also got emails from people, and I was thinking that RFK Jr. would pull votes away from Biden, but I've actually had a number of people say to me that they would choose him over Trump.
Really?
And yeah. And I did not expect that. Now, I think that if it were to become a three-way race, and this assumes that, as you said, if Trump would be the nominee, which for the Republicans, which right now he's definitely the front runner, and it would RFK Jr. go third party too? Would he be willing to do that to one of his own Democratic brethren? I'll tell you, if I was Joe Biden right now, I'd be calling RFK Jr. up and inviting him down for a nice White House dinner and get that old Biden grin out, like, after Biden took the knife to Robert Bork and Ed Meese Clarence Thomas and my friend Bill Clark, and humiliated Bill Clark on national television, then go up to him, put your arm around him, hey there, Bill, buddy. We're still pals. You know, I didn't mean any of that. So that's the kind of thing that I'd be doing with RFK Jr. right now. I wouldn't want to make him mad.
Yeah.
But I was surprised to see a number of Trump people say they take RFK Jr. over Trump. Now let me quickly add here that RFK Jr. is a liberal. I don't know where he is on abortion. I'm not sure about that and some of those issues. But if you read his platform right now, it sounds like it was written by the Heritage Foundation.
Yeah, it's so
true. At the very least, compared to Joe Biden, I mean, he looks like Ronald Reagan compared to Joe Biden. So I don't know how it would shake out, but if he did choose to go third party, I still think he'd take mostly votes away from Joe Biden more than anybody else. And you could see a final vote here, like, 41-40-20, right? A guy winning with 41%, and that could be Trump or Biden. I don't know.
What's really interesting, though, is I saw a report the other day on independents. Biden has lost a lot of those independents. And, you wonder how they would swing, whether they go with, JFK or RFK, I should say.
Oh, I think they would.
Or towards Trump, So it'll be, and look, not everybody's even thrown their hat in the ring yet. So we'll see what happens here. Well, there'll be others. I just can't see him running at his age and the demands that all are often called upon, upon a president.
Who is that with the
president?
Age,
the president. Our current president. No, not right. Trump seems to have limitless energy for some reason. Although Trump will be the same age I think Biden was, wouldn't he, if he takes over office?
I think so. But Trump does have incredible energy. Now, an interesting thing about this, we're talking about physical characteristics, I guess, is that, as probably a lot of people know who are listening right now, RFK Jr. has a vocal problem.
Yes,
he has a chronic throat issue, and it's very hard to understand him when he speaks. And in fact, he did a huge interview with Tucker Carlson a few months ago, or maybe even longer than that, on the whole vax issue. And Tucker started the interview by giving a caveat, warning people that it'd take a little time to get used to the voice.
Right.
Of Kennedy. And by the way, you do get used to it.
You do, yeah.
But it's the voice of somebody who couldn't go out and do big rallies like Trump does. Then again, Joe Biden got 81 million votes from his basement, right? From his living room.
It's crazy.
I mean, and then his recent announcement for 2024, he did it on video. So he probably doesn't have to do a single rally anywhere.
They're not going to want to do
how much of an impediment would it be?
They're not going to want to do a whole lot of live stuff with the president. They want to pre-produce the makeup on, the eyes tucked back, the proper lighting. I mean, they're going to want to make him look as vibrant as they can and as healthy. So I think we'll see in his run another well-produced, packaged program for President Biden. Not a whole lot of public appearances. I think Trump will take his old playbook and do the rallies and that type of thing. Let's go to the phones. We'll take a few of your calls. You're welcome to join Dr. Ken Gore and myself here at 888 914-9149. I said that number 100 times, but I'll try it again. 888-914-9149. Katie's in San Diego. Katie, hi. You're on the air with Dr. Ken Gore.
Hi. I love your show, by the way.
Thanks.
Well, I feel like as I'm listening to this, while we're now mingling politics with our faith, you know, I listened to JFK Jr., and I am a registered nurse for a long time, longer than I'd like to admit, well over 20 years.
Well, thank you for
and
that.
And I, well, oh, no need to thank me. I mean, when it's a calling, you know, you love what you do. Yeah. I don't like politics being interjected into medicine, and I do know my microbiology quite well. Mm-hmm. And I've been shocked at the brainwashed Democrats. It is brainwashing. So there's a lot of infiltration of evil, even into the church. But Christ had always said it would happen, the tares and the wheat, right? So what we're tripping over our tongues and tripping over ourselves and putting JFK Jr. on a pedestal. And I think he's genuine, especially about the vaccines. And I'm an anti-vaxxer. Mm-hmm. I'm an anti-vaxxer, and I'm proud of it. It's not just the COVID vax. Okay. People have died from a lot of these vaccines. It's increased autism in infants.
Okay.
And guess what?
Well,
we got to 2023 for thousands of years without vaccines. That
Katie,
said,
yeah.
while I...
No, go ahead. I was going to say...
Can I say something real quick?
You certainly can. I apologize.
Okay. No worries. We don't know where JFK Jr. is on a lot of issues, okay? No. People voted for Carter the same way. They thought he was a biblical man, even though he's a Protestant and he wasn't a playboy, blah, blah, blah. Well, Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden trot out the fact that they profess to be Roman Catholics
right.
again and again.
Right.
And Nancy Pelosi is a simple, straight abortion machine.
Yeah.
She's an abortion machine inside what
no,
looks
I,
like an old
I agree. Katie, let me do this just for the sake of time, because a lot of people want to join the conversation, too.
Sure.
Let me
I'm
try
so
to
sorry.
Say this. No, I appreciate
yeah.
your perspective and your
call.
Passion.
Very good call.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, and my frustration comes both with Pelosi and Biden, who think that who profess to be Catholic, and yet their actions, their policies, their examples in direct opposition to everything the church teaches. And we need to pray for their conversion. But Katie, if I could get to your point, are you saying with RFK, okay, we know where he stands on vaccines. What are his politics? Are you asking what else do we need to evaluate regarding his position?
Yes, that should be fully vetted, because even the best of intentioned people right. can make mistakes. And of course right. we will.
Okay, let me hold you on that point. Doctor, I'm going to let you respond. What do we know about RFK? You heard her points. She likes his position on vaccines. He's Catholic. What else do you know about him?
Well, he's liberal. I mean, although, like I said, if you read his positions currently, I mean, he sounds like very moderate to conservative currently. But he's, you know, he's also underscoring positions that quote Donald Trump in that initial clip that you played before he started the show. What did Trump call them, Drew? Marxist maniacs and lunatics,
<That's crazy.
laughs> right?
Yeah.
I mean, so in fact, the Kennedy brothers, JFK and RFK Sr., opposed Marxist maniacs and lunatics. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they broke bread with Joe McCarthy. And in fact, RFK Sr.'s oldest child, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, and there's dispute about this, you could look it up, but Ethel said it was true. But supposedly her godfather was Joe McCarthy. That's because RFK Sr. worked for Joe McCarthy. McCarthy was a mentor. McCarthy dated one of the Kennedy daughters. He used to hang out at Hyannisport. The Kennedys crossed party lines to support Joe McCarthy, the Republican senator from Wisconsin. So they were always opposed to Marxism, communism, anything seen as anti-Catholic. So where he stands... And in fact, I got to point this out. Prior to this, RFK Jr. was really well known for his environmentalism, which is definitely left of center, right? No question about that. So I want people to understand, I'm not saying that this is a moderate or it's somebody that I would personally like. You know, my whole point with the article is the entrance of him into this really could throw everything into chaos in a way that I don't think people are appreciating. Remember, you would have never heard of a guy named Bill Clinton. You would have never heard of Hillary Clinton if it wasn't for some guy from Texas named Ross Perot. in 1992, right? I mean, otherwise, George H.W. Bush would have been reelected, but that ended up Clinton 43%, Bush 36%, Perot 20%. Yeah, that's what a third-party person can do. And he could potentially do that to Joe Biden as well.
Yeah, my guest today, Dr. Paul Kengor. If you're on hold, stay with me. I'll grab your call when I return. If you want to get in, the number's 888-914-9149. Taking a look at, Joe Biden, Robert F. Kennedy, and Donald Trump, and so many other candidates that are now beginning to posture for the 2024 run. We'll take a look at how it all shakes out. Stay with me. Our conversation will continue right into this. Hey, today we'd like to thank Donna, who is listening in California, for donating her Volkswagen Jetta. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
This is the Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for being with me. It's great to be here. If you're just tuning in, saying, hey, what's Drew talking about today? I'm joined by Dr. Paul Kengor. He wrote an article called Doomsday for Democrats, how RFK Jr. could elect Trump. Would he, you know, maybe get the Democrat nomination? Would he be an independent? Would it be a third party? How will all this shake out? Is anyone going to run against the current president? And how do you think the president will do? 4 more years? You know, I think he'll be 86 or something when he's done. You may be saying Madam President because you may be seeing Kamala fill in. You never know. You never know. I mean, the average lifespan of a man in this country, he's already superseded. So, and the same thing for Donald Trump. I'm not trying to be partisan here. I'm just throwing that out to you. And it was very interesting to find out that RFK threw his hat in the ring. And, you know, it's Junior, I should say, because his father, Senior Robert Kennedy, he was a senator from New York. He was a leading candidate in the 1968 Democratic Party presidential primaries. And I think it was in early June. He had won California and South Dakota primary elections. And he addressed his campaign supporters at the Ambassador Hotel Embassy Room Ballroom. And he was leaving the podium. He was going through the kitchen hallway. Sirhan Sirhan, as you probably know, mortally wounded him, shot him. And Kennedy died at a hospital about 26 hours later, and his body was buried in Arlington National Cemetery. I think he was only 42 years old. My producer had him look that up. 42 years old when he passed away. Doctor, let's start here, and then we'll take some more calls. But I think talking a little bit about his father, let's talk about Robert F. Kennedy. What do we know about him? Is he trying to mimic him? His assassination still, you know, resonates today with a lot of people. It was a tremendous loss. Your thoughts on Robert F. Kennedy, his assassination, and of course, RFK Jr.
Yeah, no, it was really an extraordinary thing. So it was June 5th, 1968, and the guy that shot him was a Palestinian immigrant to the United States named Sirhan Sirhan. And Sirhan Sirhan actually shot RFK because it was the 1 year anniversary of the 6 Day War when Israel defeated Egypt and other Middle Eastern states. So this guy was anti-Israel. He was anti-Zionist. He was also pro-communist. And over and over and over in his, in fact, the book that's published, Drew, that published Sirhan Sirhan's diaries, I think it's called RFK Must Die. I believe that's the name of the book, because he wrote over and over again maniacally, RFK must die, RFK wow. must die, RFK must, he must die on or near June 5th, 1968, June 5th, wow. over and over again. I love communism. I love communism. I love Marx. I love Nasser, who was the leader of Egypt in the 1960s. You know, the United Blanking States of America, cursing the USA. Horrible stuff. And so of all things, RFK Sr. was the leading Democratic contender for the presidency in 1968. And he had just won the Democratic primary in California. Wow. That night. So there he is. It's like shortly before midnight, June 5th, 1968. He's at the Ambassador Hotel. He goes to leave backstage, down through the kitchen, back through the kitchen. There's a 17-year-old busboy named Juan Romero, who was a devout Catholic. And in fact, you can look it up and see photos. And he's wearing like this kid, this young busboy is wearing he's all in white. He's has this white jacket. And he had switched off with a coworker so he could be there that night to see his hero, RFK. And Sirhan jumps out from like behind the ice maker and starts firing and hit RFK right in the head. He went down. I think Juan Romero might have even been shaking Kennedy's hand when it happened. And then Kennedy went down. Ethel immediately went to him. And then Juan Romero pulled out of his jacket a rosary, and he put it in RFK's hand. And RFK was cradling, holding tight that rosary while his eyes kind of went back into the back of his head. And so, yeah, that's kind of the final image that a lot of people had of Kennedy before he died at the Good Samaritan Hospital, of all things, right? The Good Samaritan Hospital in Los Angeles. So just a tragedy. Those 10 and would be 11 young Kennedy kids lost their 42-year-old dad. So he was younger than his older brother. Yeah. When his older brother was shot November 22nd, 1963.
Well, the poor Kennedy family. I mean, some say the Kennedys have a curse. I mean, so much tragedy, not right. just back, during the reign of the Kennedys when they called that Kamala, but even post, so much tragedy. We lost another Kennedy off the Hyannis port. Remember when John F. Kennedy Jr.'s plane went down? Just so many.
Oh, that's right. And he was a good one. He was a good Kennedy. In fact, the one Kennedy of all of them who had the worst character was Ted Kennedy. And, he lived probably the longest, and yet he had a tragedy when he drove his car off the side of a bridge in Chappaquiddick off Martha's Vineyard and killed the young girl that he was trying to take home, who he wasn't married to, Mary Jo Kopechne. And then Ted Kennedy that night swam out of his car, got out of his car, went home. Didn't call the police until the next morning because he was afraid he'd get busted for having alcohol in his breath. And when they pulled the car up out from the water, they realized that this young girl, Mary Jo, actually died not from drowning, but from suffocation because there had been an air pocket in the car. So if Kennedy had just called the police right away like he should have, that girl would have been saved. In all likelihood.
That's crazy.
And speaking of challenging incumbent Democrats, Ted Kennedy challenged Jimmy Carter in 1980. And what really did in Ted Kennedy once again was Chappaquiddick. So, but Kennedy did not run third party back then because he was a committed Democrat. I think RFK Jr. is more of a moderate and less of a party guy. And might be more willing to run in a third party.
Well, let's go back to the phones. We'll grab a few more calls for you. Robert is listening to us in Kentucky. Robert, good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Kangor.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I was going to speak to RFK Jr.'s integrity and his courage in taking on the sacred cow of vaccines. And then we made a golden calf out of this COVID vax, mRNA, so-called vaccine. It takes a lot of courage for a man to stand up and buck the tide, all the corporate propaganda that he's gone up against, and as you spoke to on his Google, reducing him to that kind of, and same with NPR. But you mentioned his environmentalism, and I just wanted to add a dimension that I feel like doesn't get spoken to enough. I've somewhat progressed from more liberal in my college days to more conservative as I've grown older and wiser, and I feel like we're seeing the left co-opt the environmental movement with the whole climate change agenda, the World Economic Forum, all of that Bill Gates type of concerns. But I feel with RFK Jr., his orientation with the environment is similar with his concern about vaccines, the damage they do to children. So protecting the environment, the air, the water, all these issues are basically their health. It's about health, particularly the health of children, as opposed to just some kind of left-wing religion, like the way it's been co-opted. I feel like we need to delineate the very real issues that he's raising. I haven't followed him as closely as I would like, but I have a lot of respect for the man, whereas I don't trust Donald Trump or Biden. Obviously, Biden's a pathological liar, but with RFK Jr., you've got somebody who's for real and has real spiritual values, and that's what I wanted to add, that dimension about let's not, as conservatives, let's not dismiss the environment because, you know, we're called to be stewards of God's creation, and I feel like that's what responsible environmentalism is, and I feel like RFK Jr. is more likely aligned with that.
Well, thank you, Robert. I'll let Dr. Kangor respond. I'm learning a lot about RFK Jr. myself, and I think if he becomes more prominent in this race, Doctor, there'll be a lot more written about him, a lot more about his policy, but your thought on this environmental perspective?
Yeah, that was a really good call. That phrase, responsible environmentalism, I think that's a good phrase. And I love his statement about the golden calf of the vaccine, right? And for many of them, that's what it became. And, you know, you needed to pay homage to the golden calf. And RFK Jr., he committed blasphemy by going against that. And he's been treated like a pariah, a heretic. There you go. You look him up on Google and Facebook, and he's called an anti-vax fanatic and propagandist and conspiracy theorist. Yeah. it's completely insane. Yeah, because he didn't want 18-year-old girls who are going to die from COVID to end up with myocarditis.
That's crazy.
Right? It's just complete nonsense. So that one issue, if ever one issue can really define somebody, I mean, gee, Ross Perot got 20% of the vote by walking around talking about the deficit, right? The deficit, the deficit, the deficit. And, you know, and for that, we didn't reelect George H.W. Bush, who helped win the Cold War. At least in this case, you know, this is really a true life-death issue. And again, I come back to that line from RFK Jr., right, who said the liberals were in love with death. Wow.
I know,
right?
Crazy.
Imagine a statement like that. And RFK Jr., he's guilty of misinformation, disinformation, just like Dr. McCullough and Malone and all the others. And they're saying, what misinformation? You are guilty. And it just says that, you know, some 20-year-old writes that from Google and you're done. You're scrubbed.
Yeah, so true.
And this is his way of fighting back. I'm kind of pleased to see it.
Well, let's do this. We'll go back to the phones, Doctor. Jonathan's in Northern California. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. I was 9 years old when John F. Kennedy was killed. Mm-hmm. And I seen it happen on the black and white TV.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
my suspective, I used to be Democrat,
mm-hmm.
because I was told to vote that way because I was in the Union. And I am Catholic, and I need to vote the right way. And I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump because he lies, and he's bringing back the death penalty.
Okay.
And I'm going to be voting for Nikki because she's against the
Nikki Haley
killing babies.
Yeah. All right, well, Jonathan, thank you. What a moment in history, remembering that assassination. Doctor, I know you only have a few minutes with me, and you're more than welcome to stay if you'd like to stay. If you have more time, I'd love to hang out with you. But you heard Jonathan's comments about there. I mean, a lot of people have to pick and choose who they're going to vote for, a lot of different reasons to do that. Where is DeSantis on the death penalty? He's pro-death penalty. In fact, I just heard the other day that he is now in his state, I think, extending it for child rapists. Did you hear about that?
I did not. I actually, I got to admit, I don't know much at all about him on the death penalty.
Yeah.
But I think what is interesting about that call is you can see, and we're hearing in a lot of the calls here today, Drew, right? A nostalgia, a warmth for the Kennedys. And, you know, when Ted died, Teddy Kennedy, maybe around 2010, something like, boy, I think it's been almost 10 years now. But he had so besmirched the family name that it had become synonymous with, you know, like philandering and on it, you know, which JFK himself was very guilty. But as Ted has kind of, you know, vanished into the historical memory hole, you know, RFK Jr.'s strength is his identification with RFK Sr., who was in many ways, by the way, there are questions too about his fidelity, his faithfulness to his wife. And I've read so much on this, and it's hard to know, what did he have an affair with Marilyn Monroe? Did he not? I know other people say, no, he was the only Kennedy who didn't do that kind of thing. Wow. It's hard to know. But RFK Sr. is probably the most kind of ethically, morally respected of all the Kennedys. Right. And so if, to the extent that this one identifies with him or can carry on that name, it's a further plus for him in running.
Yeah. Well, Doctor, I'm grateful for your time today. I really am. Your article, it is posted on our Twitter page. And, of course, people can read that where at the American Spectator.
That's right. Yep. Spectator.org. Go there and check out my article archive. And by the way, you can sign up for free to receive my articles. I write a column there about once or twice a week.
Well, fantastic stuff. Appreciate this one. And so if you want to stay, you're more than welcome to. It's about 15 minutes now before the hour. Did take a short pause. I'll be back with more. Feel free to join me.
Did you like what Drew and the guest had to say? Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the Relevant Radio Archives. Just search for The Drew Mariani Show.
Today, we'd like to thank Donna, who is listening in California, for donating her Volkswagen Jetta. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
Taking care of business every day.
He has a microphone, and he knows how to use it. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. I'll grab a couple of your calls if I have a chance. Maybe I'll even share with you a little bit about the old Kennedy curse. You know, Democratic skeptics are holding off on the old Biden 2024 endorsement. We'll see what happens. Will you see Joe Manchin from Virginia, West Virginia, I should say, who's up for re-election in his state? Will he throw his hat in the ring? Who else will enter in the race? Right now we're talking about RFK Jr. and how all this plays out. Will President Biden get reelected? I was really stunned by how many votes the president got in the last election, and he's going to probably, and I don't blame him. I would do the same thing, run my campaign exactly the way I did it before, right? Not a whole lot of big events, do a lot of televised stuff, and have it well-produced. So we'll see what happens, or whether you are tired of the current administration. Do you want to go back to the Trump administration, or do you want something new? We can talk about it. It's 888-914-9149. Let me go back to the phones. Marie is in San Diego, California. Hi, Marie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You know, that Kennedy curse notwithstanding,
yeah.
I think Big Pharma and then the progressive left, that there are plenty of enemies on the side of against Kennedy. And I think that, I mean, this is the, I might be a horrible thing to say, but he better have a really good bodyguard because, you know, I mean, think those people will, you know, they're ruthless. And he, I mean, I suppose that, you know, I don't, he doesn't need me to tell him this, you know, it's, you know, he probably already does, mm-hmm. but I just think that there's a very big danger. Like I said, Kennedy curse notwithstanding. Yeah. So, I mean, because that side is so powerful and he would be in peril, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your call, Maria. You know, I don't know. I mean, again, that's a kind of a, I don't know what evidence we have to say that somebody would take him out. Not that we haven't seen it. You look back at the Kennedys, I mean, JFK was taken down. Robert, his father, shot. You know, is there some nefarious action on part of a particular party or individual? I don't have. You know, it's really hard to say that. You know, it's kind of conspiratorial. But I understand what you're saying. I understand. You know, how you can think that way. I think of the Kennedy curse. I was talking to Maggie about it, and I heard you mentioning it again. I won't go into it all, but it almost seems like the Kennedy family itself, if RFK runs, you're saying he needs a good bodyguard. You know, and curses can be broken, but it's almost like there's a strange hex on this family. They were the Camelot of America for a long time, right? They've been plagued by just bizarre accidents and heart-wrenching deaths. The Rose and Joseph Kennedy, they were the builders of the family fortune, and this is a couple. I don't know what happened. Boy, they saw unimaginable loss. Their son Joseph was killed in a plane crash during the Second World War, and Their daughter, Rosemary, was institutionalized because of a failed lobotomy. Later, their another daughter died in another plane crash, right? John F. Kennedy Jr., right? He died in a plane crash off of Hyannisport. We were talking about a lot of plane crashes. Kennedy, who was the 35th president, he was assassinated. Robert F. Kennedy, his brother, assassinated. He died just shortly afterwards, just 4.5 years later. I can't imagine what the family went through. John F. Kennedy Jr., who was 38, they all died young. 42 was Robert. John F. Kennedy Jr. was 38. And a number of their offspring would die in weird accidents, ski accidents, car accidents, weird things. So it makes me think, just on a spiritual note here, and I'll go back to the phones. Can a family be cursed? Does it run down the family line? Do curses hold any basis in reality, or is this all just coincidence? And there's other things I can bring you through. But, if I was a Catholic family like this, I would certainly have masses offered for my family. Sometimes your family may have sickness running through it, or addiction, right, or certain proclivities, or financial difficulty, or personal loss. Billy Graham, the very famous preacher, he once said, who are we to question God's master plan, right? Maybe this is part of what the Lord has in store for this particular family. But in every situation and in every moment, there's always the possibility of, I think, new beginning, new direction, creation. And I don't believe in fate. Fate has no control over us, right? God is infinitely powerful. He's ultimately in control. And I think sometimes superstition fuels and feeds the fire, the belief in curses. Faith in God and faith in the control that you ultimately have to choose right and wrong makes a big difference in our lives. So each of us has the power, I think, to banish these unseen phantoms that often haunt the family line. One of the most powerful ways we can do that is through confession and through the Mass and through the sacraments and through prayer and by living right with God. Coincidence? I don't know. The Kennedy case is a hard one, though. People say they're cursed. I don't know. Michelle in Newport Beach, California. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Michelle.
Are you looking for Michelle?
I'm looking for you. How are you?
Okay. I love you, especially at a poet radio. I love your conservatism.
Thank you.
And I want to say that I'm so conservative as well. And I love President Trump. And it makes me so sad people are not there to back him like we should be. We're not loyal to him. Yet he did nothing but show respect for all Americans, besides the transgender and the carry-on of trying to defeat our whole country and who we are as Americans. People want to come into America because it's the greatest country. Yet they open up the borders, and it's becoming not the greatest country. You let a Democrat in with a deep state running him. It's not Joe Biden running for president. It's the deep state running for president. It's the corruption of our entire America running for election, and it's wrong. So anyways, I wanted to say I love all that he did. He loved all Americans. Closing the border, somebody said he was a liar. Wrong. He's not.
So
I say, I just want to say this one point.
Sure.
Do you know by closing the border, he's saving Americans from drugs and from child trafficking?
Yep.
Just lately, a little girl that came over was 8 years old, and 46 different DNAs were cider.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible.
That's horrible.
Oh, Michelle. Michelle, no, your signal's breaking up a little bit. I don't mean to cut you off, but to your point, I think some of the policies that were in the previous administration were good policies when it came to energy, when it came to our border. Right now, America, to your point, is really being poisoned. There are so many missing children right now. I talked about it yesterday, tens of thousands of them, and there's no accountability. We don't know where they are. And I am concerned about sex trafficking, human trafficking, drug trafficking, a lot of the abuses that we're now seeing. When it comes to, my particular faith, I call myself a Catholic before I call myself conservative. Because I think my Catholicism, and I'm assuming your Catholicism, influences how you vote. If there was a Democrat that had great policies and really respected and reflected their Catholic faith, I have no problem leaning in that direction, right? But based on what we're seeing right now, the Democratic Party overall has become a party of death, overwhelmingly both Congress and the Senate and the executive branch. You take a look at the president, overwhelmingly, rapidly pro-death. And I have a real problem leaning in that direction right now. That's why I love to see other hats being thrown in. We're better as a country. Our republic is stronger. you know, when we have more diversity and when people don't abandon one party altogether, I pray one day there'll be pro-life Democrats. I pray one day there'll be pro-life Democrats and Catholic Democrats there. So we'll have to see what happens. And we'll see who Donald Trump, your boy right now, is leading. So we'll see whether or not that holds up. Let me grab another quick call if we can. Annette is in Texas. Annette, thank you for your patience. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me on. Okay, listen. Now, RFK Jr. sounds like a great option, right? The problem is that even if he wins the Democratic nomination, the DNC has passed a law that they choose whomever they want, no matter who wins.
Yeah.
And it seems like they've all already put their backing into Biden.
Yeah.
The other thing is that RFK Jr. was on a show of a lady named Kim Iverson. You can find part of it on YouTube.
Okay.
YouTube, but the rest of it is on Rumble because YouTube censors a lot, correct?
Right.
Okay. Now,
Annette, I only have 30 seconds for you, so if you just...
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault.
Okay. He wants to take the Democratic Party back. Yeah. She asked him if he would switch. He said no. Now, probably what can happen is a Trump RFK ticket.
All right, my deepest apologies to you, Annette. I mean, no disrespect, but I got to leave it right there because, unfortunately, I'm out of time. Cale Clark is coming straight up. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you. I'll be praying for you. Have a good day.